Heidi.
Joined.
Darlene.
Joined.
What else have we got online so far?
Heidi?
Hey, Heidi, it's Darlene.
Hi, Darlene, how are you?
Good, how are you?
I'm fine. I think there's one other person.
When I came in, I was second.
Kevin.
Is there someone else?
Joined.
Alan.
Joined.
So, hello there, everybody.
Hello.
Well, it's usual for this time of year for the people on the East Coast to be buried in snow, but I've had some very distressing I've heard some very distressing reports from my friends on the West Coast. Gareth, hi there.
Hi.
Danny. Are you under much snow?
Joined.
Not now. We had a big dump around Christmas time, but not now. It's all gone pretty well in Victoria, although Vancouver's had it worse than we have.
But they're not prepared for that much snow, are they?
Well, not as much as they might be should be, but they don't usually get all that much normally either.
Some of us are never prepared for that much snow.
Alan, you live in Montreal. The ambulances are SUVs.
But I don't know why I live here.
What are your other choices?
There's probably a lot of them if I get my butt out of something or other.
Hi, it's Dharma.
Hello there, Dharma.
Hi. Are we waiting for other folks to join the call?
Well, we're 2 minutes past the hour, and from the sounds of it, we've got about half a dozen people here.
Okay, can I just real quick ask you guys a question? I have yet to make the selection of the working groups because I wanted to check in with you guys. What I had read through in the descriptions on the survey, my takeaway was that the issues that were mentioned in the survey, which seemed to me to have the most direct impact or perhaps the largest impact on users, are DNS security, HUIS,
Bo Brendler,
register and registry
joined,
compliance, and internationalized domain names. Do you guys think that there's? Do you guys also see it that way, or is there?
My gut is that I'd love to see a diversity of people going to different sessions, so we don't have everybody packed into the same ones. What you think is important is what you think is important, and there's nothing wrong with that.
Evan?
Yes.
Evan, it's Darlene here. Did we not agree on our last conference call that we were going to wait until the results came out, which would be Wednesday, and then Wolf and Dharma would go through the results?
Oh, yeah, I was asking, Darlene, I was just asking informally, not as a formal thing. I just wanted to sort of get other people's perspectives on what they thought.
Well, you'll have it because the survey results will come in and you will have the firm numbers there as to what worldwide people think.
The short answer to your question, Dharma, is that the ones you suggested are absolutely valid. You don't need, shall we say, validation from us on whether or not those things are important. I mean, to a certain extent, most of the things on that list were of use in one way or the other.
Okay.
But, you know, that's why the whole point of the survey was to ask people to rank them, because there's a limited amount of session space at the summit. Anyway, I want to start the call. We'll get a roll in a moment, but I just want to start the call by letting you all know that I have received an email this morning from Robert. Is Robert here on the call? I don't think he will be joining us. He has announced his intention that by the ALAC call of tomorrow, that he has announced his intention to step down as the Narrow Low rep to ALAC. And so, to a certain extent, that will significantly change the tone of parts of this call. Because one of the agenda items was to deal with that issue, and instead of dealing specifically with Robert, we now have to deal with the issue of picking a successor till the end of the term. Anyway, so I wanted to bring that out quickly. It was not put on the agenda. It happened today. I do not have an official resignation letter in hand from Robert, but I do have an email saying that he is writing one and will have it delivered before the ALAC meeting of tomorrow. So, a lot of messiness has been averted, and unfortunately a lot of difficult emails went back and forth to try and facilitate that, but thankfully we've avoided something here. In the meantime, what I'd like to do is basically the agenda that we have is actually fairly small unless we've got things that people would like to add. The only things that are formally on the agenda are essentially to deal with our ALAC rep and to also deal with I wanted to get some feedback from the group on the discussions that have been going back and forth about revisiting the GTLD creation process. Can we go through a roll call to see who's here first? Okay.
Does everybody speak at once? Gareth?
I've got Evan, Darlene, Gareth, Alan, Danny, Heidi, and Dharma. Anybody else out there?
Yeah. I heard Bo.
Yep, I'm here. Bo Bremer.
Okay, is Wendy with us? Okay, and I see Brett on Skype, but he's not in on the call. Okay. Is anyone not been mentioned yet?
Do we have any ICANN staff online?
I heard from Heidi that she had a panic that's called her away. She should be with us in a few minutes.
No, but I've made you my priority.
Oh, you're here.
Yes, I'm here.
Oh, okay.
I listed her. Hi, Blotter.
Okay, so hopefully that panic, whatever it was, got resolved, okay?
I'm hoping. I'll wait for an hour.
Oh, okay. By then we'll be long gone.
Exactly.
Okay, then. Does anybody else have something that they would like to add to the agenda that is on the that's right now the fairly brief agenda that's on the website?
Well, question, Evan. Heidi sent us a suggested agenda on, I believe, Friday. Are you taking into consideration those items that she brought up?
Okay. Sorry, I'm. Okay, I'm just trying to search for that mail. Do you remember offhand what those issues were?
I can mention just one issue would be the new constituency group. Do we want to discuss any updates? The GTLD process, but we've added that one to the agenda. And then the General Assembly agenda, we've added that one as well. And then the issue of Robert, but that has advanced itself.
Okay.
Solved itself. Or we need to discuss, as you said, Evan, we need to discuss the successor.
When you mentioned the General Assembly agenda, what in specific did you have in mind?
Just to update you again, I believe I mentioned it during the last call, that the deadline for all RALO agendas for their GAs will be due the 30th of January. So if it might be useful to discuss today and then get some perhaps email discussion going up until around that time on the agenda for that.
Okay, so essentially that means we're going to have some time to ourselves at the summit as a region. If there's some specific things that any of you would like to put on the plate for us to discuss while we're sitting there face-to-face, please let Heidi or myself or Darlene know between now and the end of the month so we can make sure that that's all accounted for. Obviously, there'll be room for new business and things like that, but it would be great if ahead of time everybody knew what some things we'd be talking about.
Maybe we can brainstorm a little about that on this call if we have time.
Okay.
This is Danny. I do have one item to add to the agenda, and that's the topic of online NIC.
Okay. Okie doke.
Danny, I'm sorry, I didn't get that. This is Heidi.
Yeah, registrar by the name of Online Nick, convicted in U.S. courts of cyber squatting, $33 million penalty. I think we should discuss
Seth
whether
Reese.
The loss of accreditation
Joined.
Might be in order.
Okay, thank you.
Hi, Seth.
Hi, morning.
Okay. Now, I'd like to deal with the issue of our representative to ALAC, which will be vacant as of the end of tomorrow's call. So at this point, we essentially have two options, one of which is to go through a formal nomination and voting procedure, or the other one is going through a process that will allow me to appoint somebody that has broad consensus of the region. The first one is more transparent. The second one is faster. Is there a preference of one or the other?
I like the transparent.
Another point that Evan brought up in an email to me is that this is an interim appointment or election until May, and then the real election will come up. So whoever we choose or whichever way we choose to do it, it is only until May.
That's right. This is the end of a two-year term. That term ends at the June meeting, and so we would need to elect anyone to fill to fill the spot from the June meeting onwards.
So this person would have to attend the June meeting, but there will be a re-election. There will be an election that would take effect at that meeting. Is that correct?
The June meeting, to my understanding, is going to be taking place in Sydney. The person who we select as a result of this process will be the Narolo appointee rep to ALAC, and as a result will be going to Sydney as part of that meeting. We will, however, be undertaking an election within the region in advance of that so that we will know who the new rep will be after that.
After Sydney, right?
Correct.
Yes, okay. I get you.
But that person may not be in Sydney.
That will be up to ICANN's discretion whether or not. Yeah, it's ICANN's discretion whether or not to have the elected person as well as the outgoing person. That's wonderful travel budgeting. Anyway, I'll go back to the original question: is there a preference given the short duration of the term that we're about to pick? Between having a full election and having an appointment, I'll abide with what everybody wants.
Do the formal bylaws or rules stipulate what happens in this case, or does it give you the option?
I haven't gone over them again within the last week, but I seem to recall that there is, I believe it was an allowance for an appointment. But if there was a desire for a full blown election, I'd certainly honor that.
I would, myself, personally, I would say do a call for, you know, people that might want to do it, volunteers, do it, and you'll probably get one, and so it'll make deciding real, real easy. That's just my feeling.
I'll point out that there's a good chance if you go through an election process, you will not have that person named in time to go to Mexico, unless it's someone who actually happens to be there anyway.
Well, I would hope for the summit that most of the people who have indicated an interest would have been interested enough to fill out the summit forms and be there anyway.
Perhaps, but you know, they may not be there per the person from the...
You're right. Okay, well, if that's the case, then can I ask for your trust in my discretion that allows me to find out who is interested and then come back to everybody to get a consensus and then move forward with this as an appointment?
No objection for me.
Is there anybody on the call who has an objection to that process?
I have no
objection. Why don't you make the request for interest a public request?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
I would even jump it one step forward, just giving the timeline and saying because whoever it's going to be should be somebody that's already pretty familiar with whatever their responsibilities are. that I would be comfortable even jumping it into, you know, maybe putting out a request, but then also trying to recruit people that you feel are already sort of in the loop on what needs to happen for this short amount of time. It's just a couple of months.
So okay. You're going to put out a request on the listserv. Is that the idea, Evan?
My intention is, as of this call, to put out a formal request for interest that will be repeated on the mailing list. I think it'll be reasonable enough to give between now and Friday to hear back from anybody who's interested, and we'll take another week to go through the process of getting a consensus on who the person would be if I received more than one.
Okay.
So we have an entire process that's completed in 2 weeks. An election would take longer than that.
I'll just note that the call for interest should state clearly that this is someone who may only be on the committee for a couple of months, and it should be someone who's ready to, you know, be off and running immediately. There's not a lot of opportunity for getting up to speed.
Which is why I'm not. Which is why I don't have a problem with limiting the call for interest to 1 week.
Yeah, I'm just pointing out that the call should say that.
Got it.
Otherwise, you're setting expectations incorrectly.
Oh no, it'll be very clear what the term will be. Okay. So
it's the expectations I was talking about, not the term.
Got it.
Okay.
Okay. So if we have no objections on that, then we'll proceed with that method. We'll have 1 week to put out a call for interest, and then another week, if necessary, to determine between the various people that put themselves forward. If only one person put themselves forward, then we won't need that second week. Okay. That was surprisingly quick. I thought this topic was going to take up a lot more time than this on the call, and I'm actually quite happy that it didn't.
I will note one more thing, that really implies you can't fill the position.
I already made it quite clear I had no intention.
Okay.
I'm definitely not standing for this.
Okay.
Okay. All right, let's move on. The next item on the agenda that we have right now, we've already gone through discussion of the GASN agenda for the summit. Again, this is mainly a call for everybody to think about what you'd like to talk about when we meet face to face in Mexico City, and we need to put that to ICANN staff by the end of the month in order for that to go on the formal agenda. Also, another reminder for those of you that still have not done the second survey. You would have already gotten an email from Darlene to that effect. I don't know who you are, but you do, and if you've received that mail, please heed to it as soon as you can. Okay, discussion on the GTLD creation process. This is on the agenda essentially because there's been a lot of discussion in the email list, not so much within the region, but within at large in general, from people that are wondering about whether or not we should be basically taking a breath, stepping back, and having another look at things. Given that the Department of Commerce in the States has written a letter to ICANN, I think with a fairly harsh scolding of what it was going to do for the new GTLD process, there have been some people that have stepped forward that said, maybe we need to take a step backwards, catch our breath, have a moratorium on the process, and get it right. There's another significant contingent saying we've come too far along. We can put in changes later, but we shouldn't stop what's already there. I wanted to get some kind of a feel from the region on whether or not we should take any stand as this comes before ALAC.
Well, this is Bo. I guess sort of by nature of the documents and whatnot that I've put together, I've already taken a stand. So you know what that stand is. And
could you just briefly repeat it for this group?
Sure. Basically, it's that I'm not opposed to the new GTLD process per se, but I think that there's a certain amount of to quote other people who've talked about this, there's a certain amount of eye candy needing to get its house in order before it begins to accept, you know, a whole range of new GTLDs, up to 500 of them or more. You know, I think debating the merits of whether new GTLDs are going to be all they're cracked up to be is one thing, but I think we should try to decouple. There's really two things going on. One is, you know, what action should we take or should the ALEC take about new GTLDs? In other words, what advice should it give to the board? And then second, you know, what are our specific concerns about the current application? And that's sort of part and parcel of the big document that I've put together that's on the new GTLD page. Regardless of whether we decide to advise the board, you know, go ahead and continue with the new GTLD process or not, I do think there's some significant things in that workbook or guidebook for an application that we need to voice our concerns about, because I think they're detrimental to the user community. So there's been a number of people. There's a number of people in. Well, I think you characterized it right, Evan. You know, it kind of feels like, at least within the region, it's about half and half. I mean, Brett has made some compelling arguments for not holding up the process. Bill Silverstein and John Levine have made some compelling arguments for halting the process till we fix certain aspects of what ICANN is about at the moment.
Yeah, my concern personally has been with the discussions that we've had in these phone calls before about the lack of enforcement that has gone on of the existing ICANN contracts. And we can have all the best intentions of the world for moving forward, but if we can't enforce the ones that already exist, what hope in heaven do we have of enforcing the new ones?
Yes, I agree. That's a significant part of it that I kind of left out. So I agree with that.
Danny, you've been quiet.
Well, Danny basically agrees with Bo. We know that at the moment we still don't have an RAA package that's been approved by the GNSL. We know that trademark owners...
Well, we know we have one that hasn't been approved by the GNSL. That's a stronger statement.
We've got trademark interests that are obviously concerned about the prospect of a massive amount of cyber squatting on the horizon, and we have no mechanisms in place to deal with that pending reality. We've got no expedited takedown arrangements. We've had no revisions to the UDRP to make it a more cost-effective and manageable process. So I would say that we have to get this house in order first prior to taking the leap into accepting a large number of TLDs. Now, with that said, it doesn't bother me overly much to have a limited round of TLDs. If we were to bring in a dozen TLDs per year, I think I could live with that. The business community could likely live with that. But if we're talking about opening it up to an unlimited amount, 500 and above, then I think we're looking at a disaster in the making.
Okay. What I want to do is I want to go around to everybody one by one and make sure I get everyone's point of view so I can get an idea. Since we do have a split of opinion, I'd just like to get an idea of how widespread one side or the other is. So I'm going to call on each of you one by one. Seth, what's your point of view on this?
Oh, I love going first.
Well, you're third, actually.
All right. What Danny said sounded good to me. I really haven't considered the issue enough to feel confident in my opinion, but, you know, launching 500 a year was, I'm kind of curious who's advocating that. That sure sounds scary on a number of levels, although I think in general I'm in favor of the expansion, the continued expansion of the GTLD.
Okay. Gareth?
I'm siding with Danny and Bo on this one, Evan.
Okay. Now, Danny, you mentioned that you're okay with sort of a limited early round of maybe about a dozen while still holding the line on widespread implementation.
Well, yeah, I mean, we saw GoDaddy in particular in their comments being the first party to suggest limiting the round. They decided to limit it to a number of 100. I think even that's aggressive. I'd like to see it limited back to the levels that we saw in the first round and in the 2002 round, which really saw no more than a dozen make it into the mix.
Yeah, the reason I'm asking, because I wanted to come back to Bo, you hadn't mentioned this, I just wanted to get your take on combining a hold with, say, a very, very limited new round.
Yeah, I don't think that's such a bad thing. I mean, obviously, you know, there's some very compelling reasons, for instance, that people in Germany want Dot Berlin, and, you know, there's a lot of people who've done some pretty serious legwork and made some serious investments up to this point and probably have, you know, got some fairly good plans in place. And so if we kind of went to those people first and kind of made them a preliminary round or something, but I agree with keeping the number. I think 100 is too many. 15 to 20 or something, or whatever the number is of people who are ready to go, like Dot Paris and Berlin.
I think you're going to find it's a lot larger than a dozen.
It's larger than a dozen?
I would think so.
Maybe the number of applications is larger than a dozen, but the number that actually go through the whole vetting process might end up being somewhat less.
The other thing, Evan, is are we divorcing this from IDN CLDs when we're talking about these new GTLDs, or in your own mind, are you mixing them?
In my own mind, I'm keeping them separate, but that's one person.
Well, I think they are separate. The issues are different.
All right, let's keep in mind that GTLD operators would have the right to put forward IDN GTLDs.
Okay. I want to keep going around the table. So, Dharma, you're next.
I'll defer to Danny and Bo.
So you're okay with that same position?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Any comments on it?
Nope. I just trust those guys.
Okay. Darlene.
I, too, defer to Danny and Bo and have no further anything to say.
Okay. So I guess I'm getting an extremely broad consensus for a position that we should be advocating a hold on the general part of the process, but allowing for a very, very limited, say no more than 20 next round.
Do I get my turn too?
Oh, I'm sorry, Alan. I'm really, no, sorry. Okay, I knew I'd forgotten somebody. Sorry.
No one important.
That.
I want a clarification first. I thought I heard, I unfortunately have not read Bo's document. I mean, otherwise committed the last several days. Bo, I thought I heard you say when you started that there's the issue of deferring and getting our house in order, but I thought I also heard you say, but there are things wrong with this document as it stands, and whether it goes ahead now or in 6 months or in a year, those things need to be set. Did you say something like that, or did I imagine it?
No, you're exactly right. The new GTLD application workbook, or whatever it is that they're calling it, has some flaws in it, in my opinion, and a lot of other people's opinions. And regardless of the process, there's some specific stuff in there that's going to need to be addressed.
Okay. I thought that's what you said, but it hadn't been brought up again. Okay.
Well, one thing that's also been, when I read that letter from the DOC to ICANN, it was pretty well saying, don't you dare go ahead imposing that morality and public order clause,
yeah.
is how I read that. So certainly there are parts of the process that are going to run into some stiff opposition from the DOC, if nobody else.
Understand, but that's not ALAC's concern.
Well,
it may agree with us. Okay, my position is, I think there are good grounds for saying, put the brakes on and fix some structural problems before we let the doors open and potentially have thousands of new GTLDs. But I believe we also must identify the really critical things in this proposal that we object to, because no matter how strong we and other people say put on the brakes, it may not happen. And that doesn't alter the fact that we need to say what are the problems that need to be fixed, whether it's in this round or a later round. So I think we have to cover both things. I would not want us to make a simple unilateral statement saying put on the brakes and not bother saying the things that are critically wrong with the current proposal.
Alan, I think part of the problem that's being noted has nothing to do with the wording of the proposal so much as ICANN's apparent inability to enforce even the agreements already in place.
I understand that completely. But I'm saying if we limit our statement to that and our position does not hold sway, we have not made the statement on what has to be changed in the overall process.
Actually, Alan,
regardless of which day it is. Other people may well have, but if we want to have put our mark on it, then we should be also identifying some of the critical things that we think are crucial that need to be fixed, whether it's today or tomorrow.
Alan, both documents did have a second page attached to it that points out particular issues with items within the applicant guidebook.
Yeah, no, I understand. That's why I asked Bo, and he confirmed that it did. I'm just reiterating that I think that needs to be part of the ALAC position.
Okay,
as opposed to just, what is now currently Bo's document.
Well, we have two-thirds of our ALAC reps here, and the third one is about to resign. So I'm hoping that you guys can bring this up in tomorrow's call. What I'm trying to do is get a consensus behind you that you know that the region is totally behind this action.
Yeah, I was bringing up the fact that it's not just an issue of do we tell them to halt or not, but we should also tell them what has to be fixed if we don't halt immediately.
Alan,
okay.
And Bo is already doing that, and it's going to go that way. I'm just saying that should be part of the
join
NA position.
Hi there. Who just joined us?
I think we're violently agreeing with you.
That's anonymous.
Ah, okay.
You mentioned a name. I didn't know we could do that.
Alan, I'd like to at least see a delay until such time as the economic study is released and reviewed by the community at large.
I don't disagree, and I think that's going to happen anyway.
I have a concern that the process moves too slowly. So, I mean, I'm not trying to advocate here. I'm just saying that I guess I'm in favor of a deployment, even if everything's not perfect, because I think ICANN moves too slowly, and they will learn through some of their mistakes. So that's just my opinion.
Well, no, the opinion's as valid as anybody else's here, Seth.
Yeah, no, I just wanted to make sure, because I guess the idea of a limited, I would be more in favor of just one limited, not a limited.
I guess I don't see a mechanism by which at this point they can have a very limited one. Maybe there is one, but I don't see it.
Well, I would also just quickly bring up that, though, again, I would also just quickly bring up that I've been saying, or we or Consumers Union or whatever has been saying these things to ICANN on the topic of new GCLBs since Puerto Rico, so that, that these objections should be raised now, shouldn't be a surprise to them. The staff is just basically, a lot of the stuff that we told them was kind of ignored. So I'm in essence saying that the process could have been a lot faster if people had their act together.
Well, and if the Department of Commerce had made the comments they made now 6 months ago or 9 months ago when they were just as valid, that would have been a lot more convenient.
Yeah, that's a fair point.
Okay. Now, Bo and Alan, do you know if this is on ALAC's plate for tomorrow?
It has no choice but to be on it. I haven't looked at the agenda.
It would have to be. Yeah, it would have to be. I mean, I spoke to Heidi last week, and she was talking to Cheryl about it. I mean, I was trying to get some language created for a vote. So that didn't happen, but...
I believe it is on the agenda, but I'm not...
Yeah.
Okay.
It's in the discussion section, Alan.
Pardon me?
It's in the discussion section.
Okay.
Okay, I just want to... So basically the action resulting from this is that the two of you sort of know that not only does Bo have his own opinion having expressed on in that document, but also that you have the support of the entire region moving forward as you bring up these discussions within the meeting tomorrow.
That's great. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. The next thing I have is that that exhausts the part of the agenda that's actually on the website. So I'm going to raise... okay, Danny, the floor is yours about online NIC.
Okay.
Whoa. You kind of went past number four, the GA agenda for the summer. I thought we were going to have a little bit of brainstorming about topics.
After we finished everything else.
Oh, okay, because it's number four on the published agenda. Okay.
Right, but Danny asked to add something on online NIC.
Okay, the short and sweet of it is we have an ICANN-accredited registrar by the name of Online NIC that was found guilty by a court of competent jurisdiction of cyber squatting, violations of the U.S. Anti-Cyber Squatting Consumer Protection Act. The court awarded a $33.15 million judgment, and it impacts us because Online NIC currently has 1.2 million domain names under management. So the situation is potentially even larger than the prior RegisterFly situation.
Sorry, they're a registrar or a registrant of those million domains?
Registrar.
Okay.
So the registrar was found guilty of cyber squatting.
What about, do we know anything about whether the data is escrowed? There was one big problem with RegisterFly if somebody had the
I'm led to believe that we don't have data escrow issues. The concern, obviously, is because Online NIC is still facing additional losses from Yahoo and from Microsoft, again on cyber squatting charges. There's a reasonable expectation that the registrar won't be able to sustain operations in view of all those judgments and go under.
Right, but couldn't somebody just buy the database for them? I mean, even a bankruptcy court. I guess what I'm suggesting here is that, you know, maybe we should look for a constructive solution.
Okay, the constructive solution might be to invoke the section of the Registrar Accreditation Agreement that calls for termination in the event that the registrar is found guilty by a court of competent jurisdiction for matters involving fraud or breach of fiduciary duty. By deaccrediting the registrar, then you start a process where their registrations are transferred to another registrar for management.
So, Danny, specifically the action you're asking for is that the region request that ICANN deregister them?
Yes. I think that ICANN should take a position that cyber squatting will not be tolerated. It should send out a strong message, and it should act to protect the registrant community.
Okay. So you're basically putting that forth as a motion?
I'm saying I would like to have our reps at the ALAC meeting tomorrow
press
a lack point of view that we think that enforcement action should be taken by ICANN.
Okay.
Well, I love enforcement action, so I will second Danny's motion and volunteer to bring it up. This is so.
Okay.
If we agree.
Well, the next thing right now is to find out if there's anybody in this call that actually has either questions or disagrees with that. Okay, so if that's the case, then all right. Alan, you're here totally voluntarily, but I mean between you and Bo, if you can make a point of raising this specific issue at tomorrow's meeting, that we would like to press ALAC, we would like ALAC to press ICANN to take appropriate disciplinary actions to deal with online NIC.
Well, Bo has already volunteered to bring it up. I'll certainly echo what has been said here. The whole thing has the caveat on it, of course, of time allowing. We have a propensity to run out of time at these meetings.
There's time allowing, there's quorum allowing, there's all sorts of cute things like that.
All right. Now, what everybody should be aware of is that this particular registrar, while it theoretically had an address in the United States, that didn't really exist, this registrar happens to be the single largest registrar in China. And ICANN has always been somewhat remiss to take actions against their biggest registrars. So just something to keep in mind.
Well, when you're at the meeting tomorrow, perhaps we can even enlist the help of groups within the. I mean, is this the kind of thing where people in the registrar's community would want to get rid of their bad apples, or will they defend them?
Judging from what we've seen so far, they'll probably defend them. Look, we've had lawsuits against other cyber squatting registrars, in particular Belgium Domains, Domain Doorman, Capital Domains. They've all had lawsuits, and ICANN still hasn't taken any action against those folks, so it's hard to tell.
Well, the question is, you said there's 1.something million domains being held by them.
Yeah, 1.2.
To what extent do we know that these are domains of individual registrants, as opposed to all the private holdings of their own family?
We really do not know.
Okay. I mean, we've
had an estimate on the part of Verizon that started the lawsuit. They estimated that approximately 900,000 of the domains were infringing. That leaves perhaps another 300,000 that the normal people picked up.
Well, all right, we don't really know if that's...
I mean, we don't know. It's guesswork at this point.
No, I understand that, but, you know, the argument of they're not escrowed or who's going to protect the registrants is at odds with saying these people are purely in this business. And it just helps if we can make one argument or the other and not make competing arguments. That's why I was asking to what extent do we know.
Okay.
It's also relevant to how much the public will be hurt if they're holding almost no...
Well, that's exactly right.
So the amount of energy and attention I can place on it should be proportional to what the potential damage is to the public, and so it would be nice to know that.
Ditto the credibility of ALAC in pushing the point hinges to some extent on that also.
Okay. Can I ask the two of you come back to us, to Norello, in the email lists after the ALAC meeting? Let us know how it went, and so we can figure out if we need to take other action after what we find out what ALAC does.
Sure.
Okay. All right. So, Danny, you satisfied?
Yeah, quite satisfied.
Okay. If that's the case, I have no other things on the agenda, so I just want to move for what Darlene was mentioning a moment ago, which is a little bit of brainstorming about what we want to talk about when we have our face-to-face in Mexico during the summit. Anybody have anything specific?
Come on, Dharma, you must have ideas.
I'm sitting here typing the thing that I told you about, which is the negative declaration of impact, because my ultimate goal is to be able, with the media policy community that I work with, who are people who are engaged in media policy but have no idea what ICANN is or what it does, I've come to the conclusion that they shouldn't have to, but there should be some kind of permeability about the issues that they care about, being able to flag their attention and somehow figure out some way that the people that are engaged in ICANN can have, you know, conduits appropriately when there's overlap between their concerns and the concerns, you know, that of the people like yourselves that are engaged. And that's really sort of what I hope to do, is sort of figure out, work with you guys to figure out a way so that I can have an exit strategy out of ICANN, because we'll just get an email saying, hey, this is what's going on and this is what's important, and modeling that on, you know, whatever kind of practices we can. And again, also, I think that while I appreciate that all of you guys are really engaged in amping up sort of the role of engaging for internet users on issues within the ICANN community, I also feel that part of sort of creating the transparency for internet users is also more of the educational work on the policy issues, and I've come to the conclusion, again, that that's not really for the general Internet user, but probably more for the larger people that are already engaged in policy that's connected to, you know, in some way connected already to ICANN policy, to just have a wider educational strategy or information sharing strategy with those folks so that they could be more engaged. So those are kind of the things that I'm thinking about, and my plan is to I'm writing up this negative declaration. The next thing I was planning on doing in the next couple of weeks is just try to set up interviews with you guys so that we could sort of the map create a map of just what people who represent Internet users in North America right now safeguard the important issues for Internet users in North America as defined already in the materials that have already sort of come out, and so we can just start plugging and chugging, like, here are the issues and here's how they relate to what you're concerned about in the language that, at least I want to do that for the people that I'm connected with. I feel accountable to find a way to share that information with them. But I think it could be more largely useful to sort of planning work, perhaps while we're at the conference or after the conference. It may have internal value for you guys as well in terms of strategic planning and stuff like that.
Okay, I guess our challenge right now is putting that into the form of an agenda item.
My hope is that what I'll have is a document for you guys, which is, you know, this is what I do for other organizations and other groups, just call people up and say, hey, what's important to you? What do you think is, you know, are the big issues? How does it affect the communities that you work with? Blah, blah, blah. So you'd be getting the standard, you know, strategic planning type of stuff that I do, you know, for my day job. But I would just be focusing it on you guys and then come out with a document, you know, probably a couple of weeks, a preliminary document a couple of weeks prior to the conference, which we could incorporate in. I was thinking that if there's going to be a poster session, I'd use it for the poster session as well. And then if you guys want to use it, if it's useful to you, we can incorporate it into the discussions that we have. I wouldn't impose.
Okay. Like I say, I guess the challenge is turning that into something that can be, I guess, a proper discussion when we meet in Mexico. So you say you're preparing something, you're going to send it up, and I guess between Darlene and myself, we can just make sure that we place it properly onto the agenda.
Yeah, so the way I would describe it is issue mapping, basically. I mean, that's, you know, through this process, there's already been a bunch of issues that have been defined. So the one thing that would be helpful is probably maybe next week I'd send out a bunch of emails to you guys, you know, requesting people to spend maybe like a half hour interviews or something, so I could come up with a preliminary preliminary issue map, which then you guys would be able to review, you know, probably, like, I don't know, 3 weeks or something from now, 4 weeks.
Okay. Has anybody else got something they'd like to put on the table?
This is Danny. At some point, I wanted to discuss the new constituencies working group.
In this meeting or in Mexico?
No, in this meeting, since we launched it last month, and you should get an update.
Okay. Well, then let's just find out if there's anybody that has anything else to put on the plate for Mexico, and if not, we'll move on to that right away.
I think we all should sit back and have a look at our operating procedures. I mean, I'm thinking back to San Juan when none of us really knew what the heck was happening. We came up with that and flew with it, but, you know, we really should have a reread of that. And now that we've had a few situations come up that we've had to deal with, We really should go over that and make sure everything there is still appropriate. And even if we have to take about a half an hour, and I know this is boring, but just go through it quickly and see if we do need to make any changes to it now that we've been through the fire.
Hey, Darlene. Since you've been really deeply involved in the operating procedures, would you be willing to maybe draft up your thoughts or suggestions, or maybe even flag the things that you think are issues, so we don't have to go over stuff that maybe isn't controversial?
Yeah, no problem. Since I brought it up, I'll do it. Yep.
I think flagging is a better issue than saying how you think it should be, but identifying the issues that have. Things may have turned out differently if the rules were different, or we didn't have an easy solution because of what the rules are.
Oh, yeah, that's exactly what I'll do, is I'll flag, and then we'll discuss in Mexico. Yeah.
Yeah, sort of flag and ask questions.
Okay. So everybody just take some time between now and the end of the month to think about either ideas about any structural changes you'd want to make, or indeed any other things that you'd want to put on the agenda for Mexico. And having said that, okay, Danny, let's come back to the issue of the constituents.
Okay, the new constituencies working group was set up. You can find it on the list of the LAC list. We now have 36 members in this group. In the course of the last 3 weeks, we've exchanged 107 messages. The efforts of the group have resulted in a posting by ICANN staff on their homepage indicating that new constituency formation processes are underway. They've created a resource page for us that lists key documents such as the Notice of Intent document, the Constituency Charter document, the Stakeholder Group Charter document. We're in the outreach phase. We sent out almost 300 personal invitations so far to have people sign up, and more will be sent out in the course of the coming weeks. The next batch will specifically target organizational entities. We've already seen a couple people express a strong interest in establishing a consumer advocates constituency. We've got some folks that are purportedly working on a registrant's constituency, and to the best of my knowledge, there is at least one other group, the PLDA, that is interested in putting forward a petition. They originally petitioned ICANN back in 1999. With any luck, we will have a teleconference scheduled this week. The original intent was to make the first conference time-friendly for Asia-Pacific folk. But in our doodle page so far, the only people that have signed up are from North America, so we may, in fact, change the teleconference hours to accommodate the North American community. And that's pretty much where we're at the moment.
Hey, Danny, where can I find Bo? How do I get to that doodle page?
Bo, I'll send you the link on that.
Okay.
Actually, don't just send it to Bo. Could you just send it to the Narrow
Island
list?
Send it to the list. Okay. All right.
Thank you.
Danny, when does that doodle end?
The doodle actually ended already, but since we're going to have to reschedule it, I don't know. My thinking was that maybe towards the tail end of the week. I know we got the GNSO on Thursday the 15th having their major TLD meeting. That runs from 11 o'clock to 1 o'clock. Perhaps if Heidi's on the line, we can make arrangements to set up a teleconference immediately after the GNSO call. And I think that would be reasonably convenient for most everybody in North America.
Okay, so Thursday. So what time is that?
I would think around 1 o'clock Eastern.
Okay, but we need to reopen the doodle, you're saying, as well.
Well, if we reopen the doodle, then we're going to blow the current scheduling. So far, nobody from Asia-Pacific has signed up on the doodle. It's only been North American. But I'm open to any ideas on that.
I'll tell you what. Send out that message on the mailing list, and that'll give people time to let it filter around a bit.
Okay, sounds good.
Okay. Does anyone have any other things to add? Any more things to mention in this meeting, add to the agenda, anything like that?
This is Bo. It might be helpful to, I don't know how soon we can do it, but there is some renewed interest in the ALEC making a comment on the array of studies that are being proposed for Who Is. I know there are a number of people who basically just don't think Who Is should be studied anymore, but ALEC and, by extension, the RALOs are being asked to submit a comment on the Who Is study procedure. So if there's a way that I can get something to you for review. The problem is that what's being talked about at the moment is very complicated. It's like 25 different proposed studies from all over the different constituencies. Most of the ones that are of a consumer protection nature or a user protection nature have been proposed by the GAC. None at all have been proposed by the ALEC or the RALOs. So, you know, I continue to think that the Who Is system, as flawed as it is, continues to be a helpful tool for consumers to keep from getting ripped off. So I have a big interest.
All right, Bo, this is Danny. Just one point which is critical on this. The deadline for that happens to be the 14th.
Yeah, it's going to come up in the meeting tomorrow, in the ALEC meeting tomorrow.
The deadline we were given was the 16th, but that's going to be the first pass at prioritizing. It's likely not to be the final one. So input we can have for the end of this week would be certainly useful. Input we have a little bit later would also likely end up being factored in.
Yeah, well, let me go on record then. At my end, I'll recommend supporting the NCUC and supporting the registrars, both that have put in zero values for each proposed study.
Hi, this is Heidi. Just a quick note for tomorrow's ALEC meeting. I believe Liz Gaster is going to be talking about Who Is.
Oh, okay.
I will point out that I think it is inevitable that there will be some studies done, if only to satisfy the GAC, and that may not be the only reason, but nevertheless. Therefore, regardless of our blanket view, if we think any of the studies are more useful than others, we have an opportunity to say which they are.
Okay. Can I just ask that after the meeting tomorrow, that's another thing you come back, you tell us about what happened on it?
Sure.
Okay. Well, if that's the case, looks like we're done everything and we still have 2 minutes left to go in the hour. Boy, efficient or what? Okay. Well, if that's the case, and unless anyone has any last-minute additions, I guess...
I just have a question regarding Robert. Is that announcement likely to be made directly to Cheryl, or what is the process?
The email I got was vague in that regard. He basically said that he was in the process of crafting a letter. The way and the recipient was left vague in the message to me.
And that message was sent just to you.
Correct.
So it would be inappropriate for us to send.
No, it was copied to me as well, but yeah,
well,
it would be inappropriate.
Not outside of NA Railroad. Then it
Correct.
Would be inappropriate for us to announce it if the announcement isn't made by Cheryl.
Or I'm assuming Robert may even be on the call himself.
Well, yes, obviously.
But it would not, that's correct.
Okay.
It's Robert announced to me his intention to do this, but it's not done until he does it.
Okay, and if the announcement is made, we can inform the committee of the process that will go on in the NARL to replace them.
Please do.
Okay.
All right, Alan, one quick question.
Sure.
The meeting tomorrow, discussion item includes the ALEC comment on the PSC. I don't see a link there to the actual document.
I don't believe one has been written yet.
All right,
quite
well, that
honest.
It. Okay.
Not that I am aware of, and I've been consumed with some other things over Christmas in the last couple of weeks, so I may well have missed something. But I'm not aware of it. I know the comments that I personally was going to write have not been written yet. but I can't tell you about a wider one.
Okay then.
Okay.
Well, we're spot on the hour, so thank you for another month coming, and I guess we will have the next call, and then the next one at the next meeting after that will be face to face.
Okie doke.
Yeah,
okay.
We're basically less than 2 months away from the summit.
It'd be nice if we started doing some travel arrangements soon.
They are coming out hopefully today. That's the urgent issue.
Oh, really? I've been watching the announcements that have gone to the GNSO, so I know what the hard deadlines are, and I'm curious if anyone's ever going to talk to us.
Speaking of which, Alan, do you know if Thursday's meeting is going to be recorded, by the way, the GNSO session?
GNSO records pretty damn well everything.
Okay, all right.
But we either through me or directly to Glenn, people need to say who's going to be attending because they have to make sure there's enough phone lines. So I'll be glad to be the conduit, or you can talk directly to Glenn.
Okay, great. Thank you, Alan.
Okay.
All right, everybody. Thanks for coming. See you next month, and
okay.
Talk to you on the mail list.
Yep.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye,
all.
Danny.
Left.
Heidi.
Left.
Alan.
Left.
Bo Brendler.
Left.
Gareth Sherman.
Left.
Seth Reese.
Left.
Darlene.
Left. Left.
Evan.
Left.